Awesome. Welcome, everybody, to this episode of the podcast. Today, I have my friend Brittany on, who is amazing. And I could say lots of good things about her, but I'm just going to have her kind of give a little description of who she is and what she does.
Aw, thank you, Dante. I feel it's very mutual. I feel like I have a gazillion million great things to say about just you as a being. My name is Brittany D. I am a psychic medium and spiritual teacher. And I also do a lot of personal development work, and, you know, really, a lot of feminine and masculine empowerment, like working with those energies. So, I mean, I have my website, you know, it's divinityexperiencing.com. I have a podcast. I have a YouTube, I have social media. I have all the things. I probably have too many things. So yeah, I mean, you can pretty much find everything from my website, divinityexperiencing.com. But yeah, this is what I'm on this planet to do. So I'm doing it all day, every day, and I'm very blessed to be doing so.
Badass. And for everybody listening, we'll have all of the info linked up in, so I'll put a copy of this on YouTube, some kind of nice little background. So the links will be in the description. And obviously if you're listening to the podcast, then just go hit up her website because I can't really shit into the podcast. So partly why I wanted to bring Brittany on is to talk about healthy relationships because she's in one. And I feel like that's something that, you know, there's a lot of, as a codependent, there's a lot of, when you start getting into this world, there's a bunch of stuff centered around like healing and, you know, not getting into a relationship and working on yourself. And it becomes very much this solitary journey and process. And I think it's easy to kind of get bitter and just be like, well, man, I don't think it's ever possible to get into a healthy relationship. I don't know if that, maybe that ship sailed. Maybe I'm just doomed to wander the earth as a lonely, you know, recovering codependent. And that's not the case. So I wanted to bring her on just to showcase, you know, what's possible, right? Like, yes, healthy relationships, but also, you know, Brittany's super energetic. She's done a lot of inner work. It's very apparent in her vibe. And be it, you know, you're a codependent who's very gushy, let's say, where you're just giving, and it's like too much, or you're going the other way where you're like, you know, extremely low self-esteem and you don't even have very much energy to give. So it's just like, you're very quiet in all situations, not really talkative. I wanted to bring someone on who can show you, you know, what it's like to be more in harmony and alignment with yourself. So you can kind of sync up with that, get some motivation, inspiration, and of course, get some knowledge bombs, which I'm sure we're going to drop throughout the conversation.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's really interesting kind of the way that I chose to navigate moving through my codependency and into healthy, secure attachment, you know, a relation with people, not even just my partner, just with people in general. You know, I mean, it's even more amazing that I can do it in romantic union now. You know, that seemed like so far away a long time ago. But I definitely, I mean, recovering from codependency is really, it's a task. It's a very intentional task. And it takes a lot of mindfulness and effort and a lot of self-love, a lot of like putting yourself first, taking care of you. And so as far as, you know, what you were saying with doing all of this inner work by yourself and all that, like, I think that I kind of took this more a kind of a different route, I guess you could say. I did do a lot of time by myself and a lot of inner work. I mean, living by myself, especially the second time that I lived by myself, I've lived by myself twice, you know, in my life. And the second time, the first time was for 6 months and the second time was like almost a whole year. And that really, I mean, even if I was dating people, I was alone still, you know, it was a deep dive. But I kind of, what I actually did is and this may sound kind of bad, but I think it's just the way that I view things spiritually. I kind of utilize the people that I was pulled to for my healing. That I kind of just saw it as, this is just healing that they needed and I needed. And I didn't, I mean, I guess maybe some of the relationships I got a little bit more attached, you know, and dependent than I was really wanting, but that's what I was needing to heal in that relationship. And so I did do the work by myself, but I also utilized one thing that stood out to me. I was in a AA meeting or a Al-Anon meeting. That's the route that I really took for support with moving through my codependency, was because addiction was the main way that it moved into my reality. So I really leaned on Al-Anon for a few years there. And one of the things that, you know, someone in the group said that's been in AA for a long time said that you can't practice these things by yourself. We were talking about healthy relationships. She was like, you can't practice these things by yourself. Like, you're going to have to get hurt. You know, you're going to have to go through relationships. You're going to have to practice it in real time if you really want to conquer it and get over it, you know? So I don't even really necessarily feel like I was on too much of an island through my healing process, moving into conscious union and like a true, you know, secure relationship. I think that it was a balance of both. It was a mix of both. When I went into those relationships, I knew most of the time I'm like, okay, I know this isn't like my person. So like, we're going to be doing some healing together. So like, I just surrendered to whatever that was, you know, and I think that's where my outlook being such a spiritual basis and seeing these people as soulmates and interweaving through different lifetimes and that kind of a mentality, I don't like walk away feeling bad, like I was used or they were used or like we're bitter about this. It was like, okay, we did our work together that we needed to do together. Thank you for helping me heal in this lifetime. See you next one, you know, that kind of a thing. So I just wanted to bring that to light because I don't want people to, I guess in my perspective, I don't want people to think that they have to isolate themselves to heal from codependency. You know, you're gonna have to practice these things in real time. I mean, you can learn them and integrate them by yourself, but you're also going to need to do them in real life, you know? And I think that's honestly what got me to that and my relationship with spirit, like having such a deep level of surrender and trusting something that is so beyond me. And then, you know, in the same sense, because your relationship with spirit is the same as your relationship with yourself. So deepening that relationship and then also deepening my relationship with myself and getting really secure with myself outside anything, regardless of what was operating outside of me, you know, whatever was happening outside of me, my relationship with me and me didn't change or shift. Well, at least it doesn't as much now. Previously, it was definitely my outside world ruled my inner world. So, I mean, I guess it's, there's so many layers, I feel like to conscious union. Is there anything specifically that you feel like would be helpful for the audience for me to focus on? There's just so many aspects of it. Like, I want to start with boundaries and then I want to go to like, you know, communication. And yeah. Then like, there's just so there, it's so vast.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah. I was just saying, you said a few things that I think are really interesting. So like one, you don't really have to be alone. Like when I heard that, I also heard, cause I'm very sure that you've gone through courses and watched videos and stuff like that to kind of understand and gather tools and ways to
to
get out of this. So like that is one means.
And I think. Books.
Mm-hmm. Books. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like taking an interest, a curiosity in like, why, you know, why is this happening? Why are these patterns here? Why is this going on? And how do I get out of that? I think that's really important. Having that interest in what's going on for everybody listening, kind of recap what she was saying. And also, you know, I don't think it's possible to, I haven't seen a codependent go completely solitary all the way until they're like healthy.
Yeah.
I certainly haven't. I did exactly what you did. There's plenty of people. Now it's kind of different in the aspect of, you know, the people who I do date short term, and it's not like, okay, this is definitely not a long-term partner, but you know, they're wounded in this way. For instance, the person I recently, we dated for like a month or two, and then I realized that long term it wouldn't be a good fit, and in the short term I think we kind of got what we needed. So then I kind of broke things off, and now we're really good friends, and it's awesome, which is also kind of crazy because that was definitely not the case in the past. But in that, there was she had a lot of we both had reservations about sex, but in different ways, right? In the past, I had been in relationships with people who did like totally didn't respect me, or even abusive. And then whenever it came to sex, it was always like it seemed like a chore for them, and that made me feel terrible. And like, well, maybe we shouldn't have sex relationships. There's all this fucking bullshit around that. And then she had some stuff around sex, but related to people pressuring her and her kind of getting taken advantage of. And coming together, that was somebody who, you know, respected me. We had a great time together. She was very present, good communication, but we were both kind of hurting in different ways. And spending time together, we both kind of healed a lot of that, which is really awesome. But in the past, I would be attracting people, but they wouldn't be respecting me. They wouldn't be treating me well. And yes, we would both be kind of damaged, and we would like heal these different parts of ourselves. But I think it was a lot different in the aspect of I just wasn't being treated well. So I don't think that's a good idea. Like I think when you get lonely and needy, and then you get with somebody,
yeah,
sometimes you're just gonna kind of, you know, relapse, so to speak, and that's gonna happen. I think over time though, we should try to be striving towards getting those short-term partners who respect us. But one thing that I kind of wanted to selfishly ask is, in those past situations where you're with these short-term partners, at what point did you like know, okay, maybe this is kind of the time to end things? Like, how did you gauge that?
Honestly, I feel like betrayal of self. Whenever I recognized that there was some boundary that I hit where I'm betraying myself too much. Like, cause it happens, you know, it like slowly creeps up, and you know, I my codependency was the give. So I'm like giving too much and I'm letting too much slide, and here's the red flags, and I'm letting them go. And, you know, and then once I'm like losing myself, you know, because I'm betraying my truth, how I really feel and what I really don't want to do and all those things, it would get to a certain point where I would feel like I'm losing myself. Okay. This is crossing a line. I have to keep me at minimum. And I think that's why it's so important to also have that time with self, you know, more of the isolation, inner work, because you got to know when you're losing yourself, and you got to know yourself well enough to know that this doesn't, that I'm saying yes, but I really mean no. You know, you got to know, it takes a little bit of time to know when what is a no for you and what's a not, you know, boundaries or whatever it is, what's a no for you and what's a yes for you. And so you don't even have the awareness to recognize that I'm crossing this if you don't know what it is in the first place, you know? So I think that the alone time that's what's really important for. But my boundary was when I'm like, okay, I'm losing myself in this for the sake of you, you know, for you. And the self-betrayal became really, really important to me. And I think also because what I did, you know, study and learn about true sacred union and really being in a secure relationship is that you are fully yourself. You are wholly yourself. And that person is wholly themselves. And that just happens to match up really, really well. And so, and whenever I would see that I was disconnecting from myself or betraying myself, I knew, okay, this not only is this not working here, but this is getting me further away from what I'm actually aiming for, what I'm actually wanting. I don't want to have to recover all these aspects of myself. It's so much work. I got to just stop this here now where I'm recognizing and seeing that we're losing these parts, you know, get those back so that way I can get back on track to my whole self meeting the whole other self. You know what I mean? The two parts that are whole in themselves. Which it's so weird to even say that, because it's also like these two parts that complete each other at the same time. So it's like, yes, we're each whole, but we're also one piece. that like fits into each other really, really just nicely. And so it is two halves to one whole, but you're also your own whole. And for some reason it just popped in my head, you know, as far as the, this is just kind of where my mind is correlating it to, is the divine masculine and feminine balance. So within, this is something that I actually teach about in my Bloom Within course. It was amazing. Whenever I learned about this, I was just like floored, but it made so much sense to me. Her name is Teresa Bullard. That was the teacher of the session that I was in. And she said that, that the masculine and feminine individually, right? These are just, it doesn't matter what your gender is, but just the energies individually. If you are the prominent masculine, then you are 70% masculine and 30% feminine. Whenever people think about, oh, I need to balance my masculine and feminine energies, people are always thinking it's got to be like 50-50 or something, some kind of perfect balance. And it's not realistic. I am prominently feminine. So I'm 70% feminine and 30% masculine. So really, all I really needed to master or heal was that 30% masculine of myself. Does that make sense? In order to come into union with my masculine, you know, my other 70%. So that was the part that I was going to get to, is that each person has their own individual 100%, you know, the 70% masculine, 30% feminine, or the 70% feminine, 30% masculine. And then if you lock those on top of each other, that 30% masculine is going to complete his 70% masculine to make 100%. And then the 30% feminine is going to make up with the 70% feminine to make another whole being. So then there's two whole masculine and feminine. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it is two individuals that are 100% have their own energy fields, you know, of masculine and feminine energy. But when you come together, you're also locking in another 100% and 100% to complete another whole. So that's just kind of how I explain it energetically, but it really does feel that way whenever you're in it. That really is what the experience is like. And it's beautiful. It's, and I think that part of the reason I'm going to get better, you know, better and better about sharing about my relationship. And I've gotten better in the last like month or so. I think I just got so floored by my pregnancy that I was just like, whoa, that's the focus. But I do want people to know that, you know, it's possible to be in healthy relationship. It's possible to be in loving union where you are communicating effectively and you respect each other and you hold each other accountable to the best version of yourself, but also in a way that's holding them and understanding that they're human and that they're going to be walking through their own shit. You know, they're not going to be perfect all the time, but like, yeah, just there's this ability to tap into a different level of relation that we haven't really experienced much here on earth yet. And from my perspective, there is an ability to tap into that. If you tap into it within yourself, then you can access, you know, true union with self is true union with the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with. You may not think that's the person. That's like my number one tip, honestly. If you take anything from this, it's like, they're probably nothing like what you expected. Like at all. Like, yeah, it's also one of those things that it completely just boggles you that this is really your person. They're nothing like you, what you really anticipated or expected or thought that you wanted, but God knew what you wanted, you know? And so it also at the same time is this unshakable, undeniable, like it would be silly for me to say that this isn't my person. Like it's so undeniable that would be ridiculous. So I want to speak on it more because I'm also going to start to create, like I was telling you, the Twin Flame Tuesdays on YouTube. Don't hold me to that. We'll see when we get there, but, but I want to start talking about it more, because it's in order, it's like anchoring the frequency, like in order for others to know that it's really possible, it helps to see other people experiencing it, you know? just like living the good life or entrepreneurship or whatever it is. Like when you see more people doing it and experiencing it, having it, then you get more confident that I can have that too. Why would I not be able to access that as well? We're all the same. We're all equal. We all can, you know?
Totally.
Sorry. I totally just went on a full rant there.
Loved it. Awesome. And I completely agree with you. I think it's super important. You know, when I remember when I was younger, kind of starting out my healing journey, like I don't know what the fuck a healthy relationship was. I thought what was going on was like a relationship. Like, oh, this is just what happens, right? Right? We argue, we fight, we're resentful. Like, that's just relationships. But no, it's fucking not.
So, and then we make up and we have great sex. And that's just like what it is. Yeah.
And then we have the fights specifically for the epic makeup sex.
Yeah.
Like, that's how we show our love for each other.
Oh my God. Ridiculous. You were like calling out my 20s so hard.
Ridiculous. I love that you said it, you know, your person's probably not what you think, but because I think what we think is coming from this place of like, I'm lonely, I'm needy. So I'm, you know, what's the most shiniest person in attributes, but it's like, we each have our own unique makeup of life experiences that, you know, make us into who we are. And the person that's going to be a good fit for that, it might not be this grand perfect thing you've created and manufactured in your head, but I think we should more judge that based on like, well, how do I feel this person, how does this person treat me. I remember I was thinking about this last night. I was like, I should make a video about this. There were so many people who I had relationships with, and this is kind of sad, I had relationships with that treated me very, very well towards the beginning of my healing journey, and I was just so like addicted and hooked on people like being indifferent and not treating me well and even abusing me, that I would, you know, cheat on these people. I would
push them away.
Push them away, not really respect or value them. And they would just kind of stick with me for a time. And then inevitably they would leave. And I was just like, oh yeah, whatever. And it wasn't until later on in life, after like going through a bunch of processes and healing, that I was like, damn, I was a fucking asshole. Like, holy shit. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that. And then it just, last night I was thinking about this and I was like, holy fuck, if we don't prioritize healing, like we could meet our fucking soulmate and just like push them off a cliff because we don't resonate with that. That's crazy. And not even realize it. To completely miss, not even understand what we're missing and losing out on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. And I mean, I would like to believe that when you truly align with who you really, the wholeness of who you are, that's when you'll actually vibrationally align with your person. I would hope when you're not in a great place, that's not where your journey with your person starts, you know, but maybe that is for some people, you know, that could totally be a thing. It can, if we can think it exists. But it's actually so interesting that you are like that, you said that today, because immediately whenever you were talking about your experience with that, I thought about the person. It was really one main person that I walked through that with, because we were together for like 5 years and I just treated her like, she was a healer, and she came into my life to help me heal, and I pushed her away in every aspect that I could, and somehow she still managed to stay in the relationship when you have someone literally just pushing you down into the ground. But she saw the light in me, and she was like, I'm not gonna let your darkness overshadow, you know, like I'm gonna help you find this light within yourself. And she did, she stuck with me until I did. And then our contract, you know, soul contract ran out. As soon as I came home to myself, I mean, we were like repelling each other, basically. It was wild. But it's so interesting that that is being brought up again today, because this is the second time today. That exact relationship came up in a session earlier today. And now it's coming up again. So it's really interesting. But once again, like I do have the view in, you know, in all honesty, I have the view that that was also her lessons and her healing that she had to walk through. You know, she gave way too much in our relationship. And when someone's treating you like that, you need to walk away, because it's not okay. And she did not know how to walk away. She knew how to just keep, you know, getting beaten up basically and still somehow giving love. And so that was her thing, you know, and I wasn't the first person that she had experienced that with. I was the third, you know, but she said that this is when I'm collapsing this. Like I see this clearly now. I'm like, you know, allowing myself to be treated not well. And I look back and I'm like, oh my God, like you were so, you just wanted the, like, to help me so bad. And I was just pushing, I was so damaged that I was just pushing you away with all of my might that I possibly could all day, all night, you know, and you just really wanted to help me heal. And she did, you know? So I really resonate. And I feel like it comes in steps, right? Like first you're in the craziness and the full on toxicity. And then you kind of step into this awareness of where you're like, okay, I have to start working on this. I have to start doing something about this. And that's maybe where those relationships where you're like pushing someone away and they're like treating you really well, you know, the relationship basically, it's still toxic, but it's not like what you were dealing with previously, you know, but it still has this toxic dynamic in it. And then once you move on from that is whenever you shift into that dynamic of like, okay, at least this was my experience, is like, this was a very loving relationship. And, you know, we were both doing our best and trying our best, but there's still toxicity here. There's something in me that I got to figure out, you know? And then that's where kind of, I would say like the next step is before you can really come into wholeness and come into a state of security within yourself, you know? But it's kind of like that's the bridge, you know, you kind of have to like treat people like shit and see yourself.
But it is because before
you're doing it, you're just not aware of it, you know? And then you're doing it and you're aware of it and you're like, ah, shit. but it's at least a step in the right direction, you know?
Totally. And I think that inspires you to become, I think when you don't do this, you can kind of view it as like, oh, that's like being very cold or very like almost mean. But I think going through shit like that inspires you to then be like really ruthless about your boundaries and what you don't like and what you like. Cause they're like, I don't want to hurt you. And also I don't want to be fucking hurt
myself. Yeah, exactly. It's not just about me. It's also because I love you as a human being, because I love you as a person, that I need to communicate these things, or I need to not allow these red flags to go or whatever it is, you know, I can't let them go because it's nothing personal. These are just my red flags. You know, these are my things that are, you know, wave something for me, but may not be for everybody, you know? So you can probably find someone that it wouldn't be a red flag to, but to me that is, you know, and just knowing yourself well enough to be okay with that.
Hell yeah. What would you say to somebody who, cause I feel like that's a real big, when you kind of make it out of the toxicity stages and like a lot of clients I work with, you know, one of them recently, she was in a relationship. I think I'm waiting to hear back on how it went when she had the talk, right? But she was in a relationship where she didn't want to date the person, but, you know, was very reticent about having the conversation about that because she didn't want to hurt the other person. So like that type of situation or anything similar where it's like, oh, you know, I'm worried about their feelings, you know, what if, you know, how are they going to take it? What would you say to someone in that position to kind of help them build up the leverage to actually communicate or to walk away?
Yeah. I mean, I was actually, just working on this with a client earlier and I kind of called him out because he said to me, and I just want to bring this to light, cause you know, if you're somebody that does this, be aware of yourself. He said, I'm just going to wait for the next time that she blows up. And then I'm going to tell her that like, I'm out, I'm done. And I was like, ooh, I was like, coward way out, my friend. Like that's really going to leave someone in a mind fuckery because they've been doing that behavior over and over again. They're not going to understand why do suddenly out of nowhere, I've been doing this behavior for this many years. And all of a sudden now this is not okay. They're going to be in complete trauma and distress. And it's not really communicating what's actually happening. What's actually happening is that you've discovered that this is a toxic relationship. and that you want to leave the relationship, or it's not serving you in some way, and you need to take ownership of that and communicate that as effectively as you can, you know, and with compassion and with love, you know, but still I have to do this to take care of myself. And it gets easier and easier the more that you do develop self-love, because you recognize that it doesn't serve anyone or anything to stay in the loop of something that's not actually of service to you. It doesn't help you or the other person. So I would just, I mean, honestly, conscious communication is the way to go in my opinion, to just really be honest and vulnerable and real. And if that person cannot meet you there, then that becomes on them. That it's no longer, you won't walk away feeling guilty. You won't walk away feeling like, oh, I feel bad for them. I did the wrong. I mean, maybe you will, you know, if you really do still have some codependent tendencies that still need to be addressed, but for the most part, you'll walk away with a lot more peace, than if you, you know, let them freak out again and then just dip out.
Totally. Like, that's it. It's a good filter too, for like, you know, the people, the recent person that I kind of split up with, when I messaged her, kind of letting her know where I was at, why kind of we think it's a good idea to break up, it was met with just like complete understanding and just mm-hmm. love and respect. And I was like, wow, that's fucking awesome. So I think there will be, you know, as you practice conscious communication, like not just flipping out on the person, like, well, I'm leaving because of this, but like coming from a place of love, like I really enjoy you. You're awesome. But this is just what I'm feeling. And you know, I don't want to fucking put it out on you or however you'd fucking word that. And stepping away, you know, the people who meet you with respect, like, boom, friends, there you go. People in your social circle now. But if they meet you with like passive aggressiveness or just outright aggressiveness, and you're like, well, there we go. Then that wasn't my person. And this just reinforces how great a decision this was to step away. Because if that's happening now, it's only going to just keep like getting worse over time if I stick in the situation with this person.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's such a clean street to just communicate in a conscious way and in a mindful way, because the truth will be revealed. You know, like it'll either be, like you said, kind of this vulnerable bonding moment where you can, you know, kind of bow and honor each other and go your separate ways, or it'll be this distressful moment where you recognize, oh, this is why I'm leaving this, and it gets validated, you know? And sometimes, like, I will be totally honest, sometimes it's hard whenever that person is really freaking honoring you and honoring who you are. And like, you're like bowing to each other so peacefully, and you're like, oh my God, you're so beautiful, but I know I need to leave. It's almost harder than the coward's way out, you know? And that's why people avoid it. Because you feel this immense amount of love for that person. Cause you're like, oh, damn it. Like, I respected you, and now I respect you even more, man. Like, you are just awesome. Damn it. But you still know deep down that you have to exit. But like, for example, that relationship that I was talking about that I was in for 5 years, we bowed out really, really peacefully. Like, I mean, people were reaching out to us and saying like their gratitude for one, just witnessing us in what we were doing in this conscious, you know, uncoupling. And then two, because we had created such a community together, that was one of the hardest things. I mean, we were like thinking like, well, maybe we can just like keep, cause it was a homestead. We were like, maybe we can just keep the community and like, we just don't date anymore. You know, like, can we figure that out? Is that possible? Because we had built something so beautiful. And I think one of the things that made it really challenging was that we didn't want people to feel like, oh, you have to be on Brittany's side, or, you know what I mean? Like, we don't want this side thing. We're not trying to tear this community apart. We love this community. We want you guys to stay together and still communicate. We're just not going to be here anymore. And we're not going to be the space holders anymore, you know, but we didn't want it to just feel like this tearing and this ripping apart of something, you know? almost more just like gently set down and everyone walk away on their own time kind of a thing. And so, but that honestly, in a lot of ways was extremely, extremely painful because our love for each other was growing by the way that we were taking care of one another, by the way that we were taking care of our community, by the way that we were community. It was like, why couldn't we do this the whole fucking time? Why couldn't we figure out how to do this the whole time? But even if we tried to go enter back into relation and say, oh, well, we can do this. Obviously we learned that we can do this. You know what I mean? Boom, right back on the saddle of the toxic ship. And it just we didn't work like that. You know, we when we knew that it was for the purpose and the intention of exiting the relationship in harmony, then we could both be our highest selves. But whenever we were getting, you know, tried to like get back together because we thought, oh, well, we know how to operate like this, it did not work because we knew that we were like stuck back in something that we weren't supposed to be in, you know? But it can really, it really is the more challenging way out, I guess you could say. Even if it's someone that you've only been with for a month or two, you know, in that moment, you're like, oh man, you're freaking awesome. Like, thank you for existing. Like, damn it, this was really good. But I think that's why people avoid it, because it's so much easier to just coward way out and snip and like you deal with the trauma and I'm going to pretend like I'm not traumatized right now, you know?
And then I'll say like, oh, well, she's just a bitch or she yes. has her own problems and make all these excuses. But in actuality, like that person was in pain and you had a really great opportunity to make this bridge. And even if they, you know, he or she or them, even if they reacted in a way that was like passive aggressive or just like very rude, you still gave them something by having that thing of communication. Maybe they won't realize it till like a year later, a few yep. years later, or maybe more, but you still gave them a gift and you gave yourself a gift because you're rewriting how you communicate, you know?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Beautiful. And yeah, I think it's the more challenging way, but I think that you walk away feeling so much more better about yourself, feeling so much more better about everything that happened and that went down. I mean, granted, like, you know, we really and truly did leave in harmony. Honestly, people were impressed around us, but that doesn't mean that the whole thing was perfect. I mean, we both had our moments, you know, where it was freaking hard. I mean, we were packing up an entire homestead, a project of years, you know, like getting rid of animals that we loved, all different kinds of stuff. Like there was definitely times where we were very challenged. But it still looking back, you will both, for the most part, both be able to say, even if it takes the other person a few years to realize, because that also happened with me. It took her a good year for her to recognize that really was the best way out. It was my idea. And I got the idea from what's called conscious uncoupling. I don't know if you've ever heard of that. Mm-hmm. And so I read that book and then I hired us like a conscious uncoupling coach. Wow. And so it was like all, it really drove from my idea and me really wanting this to be as peaceful as possible for us and everybody involved. And she really didn't get it. And, but she, there was some resonance because she participated, you know, but she was also like, this shit's weird. Why are we doing, like, we're supposed to be screaming at each other, throwing shit and like rolling out, you know, but she was like, okay, like I'll play this kind of a thing. And it did, you know, it was challenging for both of us, but, you know, and it took some time for her to really recognize and admit, you know, I think it was actually more like 2 years. We actually went out to lunch and reconnected. And she said, you know, like we both used the word harmony. You know, we did leave in harmony. That was a harmonious way and the community really appreciated it. And so even if you don't really know what you're doing or understand what you're doing, the effort of just trying to come out of it in a way where everybody feels empowered and taken care of and seen, heard and felt and appreciated, like just that effort in itself will make a huge significant shift to what we are kind of taught and programmed to do, you know, whenever you leave a relationship. So that's so interesting that this is brought up again today. I'm like trying to digest that.
Nice. Badass. Yeah. Good stuff. I was just thinking, like, remembering, you know, when I was a kid, and I remember when my mom and dad, I saw them crying and like my dad was like sobbing and like just drunk one night because they just split up, and my mom was crying. And it's so interesting how, like, when you grow up with environments like this where people don't really know how to communicate, where they don't know how to, you know, peacefully end things, and because they're not looking at their trauma, they're not looking at, you know, their own patterns, they're just kind of in the world and kind of oblivious, which is understandable to a degree because they're just not taught how to do that. It's not really common knowledge. But just how much that affects you, like, you know, how you grew up and what you were surrounded by. Like, people are just yelling all the time, like that just becomes familiar. Like, it's just, it's kind of insane. But, and when you look at it, like when you've put up a lot of time into understanding yourself, understanding how you react to things, why you react to things, you know, having tools to kind of lessen and mitigate these responses and transform them, you practice communication and boundaries. And then you look back to like where you were and just how fucking insane that behavior is compared to now. It's like, oh, whoa, God. But that was so normal. Like, it's like almost fries your brain to think about.
And I get like, you know, waves of kind of like, when I think about it, sometimes I get kind of like embarrassed and shameful, and I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe that. Like, that's really like, wow. Wow. I can't believe I did that. But it really was the norm. Actually, I was probably, compared to my upbringing, I was probably still pretty mild. You know, the way that I acted was still pretty mild compared to what I was experiencing and what was the norm in my childhood. Even with, you know, arguments and fighting and violence and that being involved, that was still like toning it down from what I had experienced, you know? And so I thought, oh, I'm not doing that bad because I'm not as bad as that was.
Winning.
Yeah. But it's like, you look back and you're like, oh my God, I cannot believe that. That's honestly, how did I even sustain that, in all honesty? Yeah. Like, how did I energetically, like, I feel like I'm tired now. Like, how did I yell about everything? And I wasn't tired all the time. Like, I guess you're just used to it. I don't know. It's crazy to me because it was just so incredibly unsustainable that how did I do that for years?
That's a great point. That's very fascinating. Right? Like the more you heal, I've even noticed this with you know, things like caffeine, nicotine, alcohol. Like, I just, it stopped being this like high that was, you know, that was nice. It just became very like, it just took a toll. Like, it didn't really give back the way it did in the past when I was in my teenage years and early 20s. And I was just like chain smoking packs upon packs and down of cigarettes and downing pots of coffee, literal pots of coffee. Like, I think the more you heal, the less you resonate with that shit, and the better you feel, the better you attract. But it's like your threshold for like how much you can tolerate just goes way down.
Yeah,
but when you're but when you're in it, you just have that energy in you and so much unprocessed fucking pain that it's like you can just go and go and go in that environment. It's so interesting.
Yeah, that is really interesting. And I think it has a lot to do with numbing. Like you saying the thing about sensitivities, like, because the more that you heal yourself, the more you know yourself, the more you feel of yourself, the more you feel of everything, everything that you're in this experience.
Yeah, you think you're an empath now. Just wait till you start healing.
Right. Oh my gosh. And I think that there has to be less of a tolerance, or otherwise you will just be so overstimulated because your sensitivities are heightened now, you know, where before you're numbing in all the different ways, like you were saying, the cigarettes, the coffee, this, da, 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 you're numbing. So you don't think that you're actually feeling it, and you're, and there is a genuine level of your sensitivities aren't as activated. They are dulled down. It's like you're dimming down the light. So I guess it makes it more sustainable to exert more energy, yeah. I guess somehow.
Crazy. And it's crazy and also really fucked, because it could just keep you in that state for years.
Uh-huh. For sure. Yeah. Until you basically get tired of yourself, until you're just completely exhausted of yourself and you have to find some other way. But it really takes you getting tired of your own shit, honestly. That's like the only way out. Or like really start questioning things. Like whenever you just start questioning everything, that's what got me is that the one I was just talking about that I was in relationship with for 5 years, she wrote on, it was one of the first times that I met her, hung out with her. She had on the back of her notebook, question everything. And like, I just saw that. And I was just like, I don't know. Why have I not questioned any of this? Like, why have I been going through life just letting everyone tell me what to do? Why have I not been questioning this experience? And that really changed the trajectory. But also I think too, me, as far as healing, you know, that's more like mind expansion, you know, awareness expansion, right, to question, start questioning things. But as far as healing, I had to get exhausted on the shit that I was doing that was not working. And be tapped out and like, okay, I've got to do something else. I'm officially exhausted. Can't numb anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have like, I'm curious, cause for me, I had, you know, different goals, different things that I wanted to accomplish. And I was just like, why the fuck is it so hard to just like, you know, maybe like wake up and film a video, or like, to talk to somebody? Like, why are these things so difficult? That's kind of what got me curious. You know, why am I so depressed? Like, where is this coming from? Why is this happening? For you, was it like, I know you said like, you know, getting exhausted, but did you also have things that you wanted to do, but you're kind of just like curious about like, why, you know, why are things so difficult? Like, did you have any of that?
Yeah, I think that I didn't recognize how depressed I was until I literally left like the state of Kentucky, until I like took off on my own. I did not recognize that I had been depressed for so long. And I didn't even really realize, I mean, I knew that it was like not okay, and that other people's lives were like not having this chaos all the time that I was experiencing. But I didn't think that it was, I think my mom really wanted it to not seem so radically different than like the, you know, norm, I guess you could say, that she kind of tried to cover it up in as much as she could. Yeah, as far as what for me, sorry, I'm trying to reel my brain back. For me, it was me recognizing that everything that I kind of back to that questioning everything, me recognizing that everything that I was doing or that I was living for was not for me. And then whenever I started questioning the, why am I doing this? Like, what is this for then? It was mostly like I was in college. You know, I was working a full-time job. I had my, you know, craziness with my family that was like constantly draining me. And I was so unhappy, so incredibly miserable. And then whenever I realized, when I questioned it, like I was just going to college and doing the job and the da 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 da, because that's what everyone does. And then the minute that I questioned it, it was like, wait a minute, why am I doing all of this? I'm miserable doing all of this. And it doesn't even make sense why I'm doing it in the first place. So why am I doing something? It'd be different if it like didn't make sense, but it made me really happy. But yeah, like, yeah, this doesn't make sense. And I'm fucking miserable. And so that's whenever, you know, I basically went through, not basically, I did, I went through a spiritual awakening, and I took off, and I left. I basically pressed the reset button on my life. Mm. And I was like, no, I'm not. I dropped all of it because none of it really actually resonated. I was like, okay, I'm going to drop this whole life because this is someone else's life that I'm trying to live, not mine. And I'm going to go find myself so that way I can find what my life is. And that's when I went and traveled. But I left, man, I left school. I left, you know, my house. Sometimes I look back and I'm like, why did we do that? Like, we could have rented that out. Like, that didn't make sense. Same thing with my car. Like, I gave my car away. I could have sold it for like almost $7,000. Like, why did we do that? It was just like, I mean, I was 19 years old and I was on this like, fuck the world shit. I'm going to do me. You know what I mean? And so it was like, get rid of everything. I didn't even sell. I mean, I had one yard sale of, you know, of my stuff. And then otherwise I literally just gave it all to go. I didn't even care. I was detaching so much from the material world that all of that was irrelevant.
It probably had to be drastic, you know, just like,
yeah,
to cut the cord. Like, yes. I don't want any money from that. No ties, like just gone, new, start fresh.
Yes. Exactly. And that's really exactly what it was. Even me carrying the money from it would make me feel like I'm still carrying that with me, you know, or somehow it was going to end up being held over my head or something, you know what I mean? Like somehow it was going to come around and fuck me over and I'm trying to do this like new thing. So like, just fuck all this shit. Yeah. I'm going to just go do this new thing. That's like completely fresh. Completely mine, completely my own, you know, and no one can say or tell me or to do any, it's mine, you know? I think because of that codependency, I really needed a deep level of independence. My relationship dynamic with my family was deeply, deeply codependent. Whenever my dad passed, me, my mom and my brother all just meshed this really codependent, weird dynamic. And it was really fucked. And so I think I needed, that was my sense of independence from that. Like anything that, you know, my mom had given me or anything that came from, you know, anything that was related to that, I had to cut the cord and, start fresh. And, you know, my family, my mom still jokes and my brother both still joke about how, like, it was, they don't want to admit it. Their ego doesn't want to admit that it was the catalyst to the codependency being broken in that dynamic. Cause I stepped out of it. Someone had to step out of it.
Right.
Someone had to step out of that cycle and remove themselves in order to create change. And I was the one that did it. And they both still like mildly resent me to this day, but they're also like, you also saved my life at the same time, you know, cause my brother literally probably would be dead in a ditch, unfortunately, but that's just the truth of the matter. So it's like, there's this resentment because I was the catalyst. I also know that change. That's why we're a healthy family now. That's what changed the whole trajectory of our whole family dynamic. Mm. It was just hard for them to experience at that time because we had such an enmeshed codependent, you know, thing going on. For one of those links to just completely cut the cord and roll out, it was like they were just left in a complete just disruption. You know, they didn't even know what to do with themselves. And I honestly didn't really know either, but I was starting my own thing over here, right, where they were still in the same thing, not knowing what's going on now, kind of a thing. So, it's definitely challenging to choose yourself, but it's worth it in the long run. Big, you know, big picture, it really does pay off.
Totally. And I think you really brought up a really awesome point, which is, you know, when evaluating like what's good for us, what's not good for us, drawing boundaries, communicating, I think seeing disruption as a big ally, because like you just said, you know, he would be dead if you didn't do that. So mm-hmm. It's like, If we get so caught up in, you know, well, what if they take it the wrong way or what if they're hurt by it? It's like that person, if the dynamic is off for you, it's automatically off for them, because otherwise it would just be healthy and it'd be good for both parties. So like by stepping away, disrupting and causing some chaos, maybe having them, the reaction to that is like, ow, and they're hurt by that. You're disrupting their pattern. You're giving them a gift as well by leaving. And maybe they start asking questions like, why did that happen? Whereas before it would just be happen.
Yep.
So then it gets them the question like, why is this happening? Why did that happen? Why does this hurt? When we start getting them moving in the right direction, just by you leaving, you don't even have to like then oversee things and like manage that. Like, no, you're just gone.
Cause that's
like,
the codependency again. Let me manage this now that I'm now.
Let
that
me
I'm
help you. I'm it. Sorry.
But it is the truth, you know, and it is hard. Like I really empathize with your client who's like worried about how they feel, you know, and walking away. Like, I mean, don't get it twisted. Like it was not easy for me to just bail on my mom and my brother, especially knowing the relationship dynamic that had been created and the suffering that they would be left in, you know, not that I didn't suffer, but I also was the one choosing it. You know, they felt victim to it. You know, they felt like you're doing this to us, where I was choosing it. So I had more power, or at least, you know, from the scene, from the felt realm, we all had power, but they were a victim to me stepping into mine, basically. They could have easily and eventually they did step into their own power. And that's why my brother's still alive. And that's why my family has a much healthier relationship dynamic. And we all can share in love, you know, and true communication and respect each other's boundaries. And a lot of those codependency, I mean, it's pretty much all gone for the most part, which is insane to think about where we were as a family unit. I mean, even just 10 years ago, it's like literal chaos, like where everyone's nervous systems are clenched. Is Dan going to die? What are we going to do? You know, like just constant stress mode. We're all chilling and we just go out to the lake together and hang out. And, you know, if we have a problem with one another, we just let the person know and it's, we can communicate. And it's really wild, but it's really possible too. It really is. And a lot of people, I think, are really discouraged when it comes to family members. Like maybe when I said the thing about hope, they had some, a romantic relationship. Maybe they had some hope and they were like, okay, yeah, maybe. Yeah. I could probably do that. If I keep hearing people can heal themselves from this, you know what I mean? And overcome this and get to a secure relationship. I can do that too. But then whenever you say with family, they're like, oh no, that'll never happen.
Lost cause.
Yeah. But it's beautiful because it really can, if you got to just choose yourself first and let go and let them do whatever is necessary for them. But it really, and be patient because it took my family 7 years. Like I did that when I was 19 and they just came, you know, 7-8 years later, they're finally like, yeah, that kind of saved our family. I'm like, oh, thanks. Glad that we could finally openly talk about that. So be patient, but, it can happen. And, you know, there is hope without a doubt.
Nice. Yeah. I didn't think about that one. That one's huge. Families. It's so much easier, I think, to see it in relationships with other people, but like, I didn't realize how codependent I was with my mom and like, you know, what behavior I was tolerating. Till just last year, even with all the shit studying and work. And I was like, wow, like actually this is so fucking toxic. But it's like we love the person. We've grown up with the person. And it's like that can be even worse than like someone you're so in love with, aka like addicted to. And then you guys break up and it's like, oh, devastating. Having family, stepping away from family can almost be worse than that.
Yeah.
But it's cool that you talked about that because I think that's important, you know, knowing people that or for people to know that, you know, it can get better and it's so empowering to step away. And that may be the very thing that your family needs is for you to get the fuck away to cause that disruption to then have, you know, that space and not in a negative way, like you were blocking everything, but like you give them that space so that then they can kind of heal and step away from things. And I think that's really powerful because, you know, family is important and is dysfunctional and fucking toxic as a lot of my family are. It's like, well, I want them to do well, you know? It's not like I hate them because I had to step away. It's like, I want them to thrive. So as like ammunition to make that decision, it's like, well, that could be the very thing they need. Mm-hmm. It's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And you got to just trust yourself, you know, that's where intuition comes in. You got to just trust if that's what you're feeling called to do, then it's probably for a reason, you know? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we are the leader of the way, you know, somebody had to go forth first. And someone had to have the courage to say, if this doesn't fucking work, then I will deal with the consequences of that. But I really feel like this whole dynamic needs to shift and like radically and create that, you know, disruption, like you said. But it takes courage, you know. But if you're really feeling that, if you really feel that in your heart, then you got to listen to your heart. You got to listen to your intuition. You got to do what you feel called to do, because you may not recognize that you're the lead. I didn't recognize I was the leader at that time. I did not see myself that way. You know, I was just trusting myself and trusting what I felt pulled to do and how things were aligning in my life. You know, like it was just working out that way. And I was like, sorry guys, but like, this is just working out this way and I'm not going to refuse the universe, you know? But it was because of my leadership qualities and my ability to have courage, you know, to go forth first, is why I kind of became that person, you know, became that person in the dynamic. So if you feel that way, you got to just trust it. You may not recognize that that's what you're doing at the time, but you got to try to trust yourself enough.
Badass. Love it. Any, last things that you want to kind of touch on, maybe talk about real quick before we close out? I feel like we've hit the main points.
Yeah, I know. As soon as I'm like trying to check in, I'm like, I honestly feel like that was so much. That was so much goodness.
Yeah, totally.
It was.
Awesome.
Yeah, I felt like we hit an array and yet all intertwined at the same time, which is really beautiful and cool. No, I feel really good and complete. Thank you for asking.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I literally love chatting with you. It's one of my favorite podcasting moment times are with Dante.
Likewise. Feeling is mutual. So let's say somebody's listening and they're like, Brittany's dope. Fucking love Brittany. Want to work with Brittany. Where do they go?
I would say either to my Instagram, which is Divinity Experiencing, or to my website, divinityexperiencing.com. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I have that I just release every week for people. But then I have, you know, kind of like group containers, if that works better for you, if you're more of a circle kind of a person. I also have one-on-one, if you are more of an intimate, you know, wanting that attention kind of a person. And then I have courses. So, but all of it can pretty much be found through my link tree on my Instagram or on my website for the most part.
Awesome. And are you still doing those card pulls?
No, I don't do that. I actually stopped those at 83 weeks. I did those for 83 weeks straight. That's insane to me.
That's wild.
That's like over a year. That's like a year and a half every single week. No, I didn't really know what I was creating space for. But I needed to let go of that for a time period. And then I found out what I was creating space for really quickly.
Nice.
So, one of those things is just trusting and leaning in, but I do, instead of doing the card pulls live, I do a collective reading that I release every Friday on YouTube. And I also do, my Monday meditations, is light language. If that resonates with you at all, or if you're curious about it, check it out on my YouTube page. But the, light language meditations that I release every Monday are actually, I got to start talking about them because they're more significant than what, it's not just like a regular meditation.
Right.
Who I collaborate with, is called Listening to Smile, and Listening to Smile creates an album every single month based on the astrology and the energies of that month. And they use different bioneural beats and different like sound healing tones that are to support you through what is moving like planetarily, like what we're experiencing basically as a collective. And then the light language that I bring through and channel over the music is based on whatever is basically the collective theme of that week. And so by taking, you know, anywhere from 7 to 15 minutes, you know, 15 minutes, I think is like the longest meditation each week, you know, just one time a week, it keeps your energy calibrated. All you have to do is listen to it. Like literally you just plug it in your ears and you're keeping your energy calibrated to what we are moving through as a collective, because you are being affected by the collective consciousness. Even if you don't believe in astrology, there's the collective consciousness that you are tapped into, you're going to be affected by what we're all experiencing. We're all on similar energy waves. And so by literally listening to this meditation just once a week, you keep your energy calibrated and like in resonance with what's moving. So it makes it a lot easier for you to navigate through the waves that we're moving through. So I release those every Monday. And then I also do my collective card pull on Friday, and that's on my YouTube channel, those two.
Badass. All right, there you go, everybody listening. Go check that out. Thank you again, Brittany. It was awesome speaking with you. And I think we dropped a lot of little nuggets of wisdom there. So I hope people get a lot of value from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you as always, Dante. I super appreciate it.
Yeah. I'll see you later.
Sounds good.